It is my first time in Manitoba. I've been in British Columbia and Alberta, but it is my first time in Manitoba, so I'm glad to be here. What we're going to be looking at this morning is the mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the mystery of iniquity. It says, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and then the man of sin being will be revealed, the son of perdition. And what his spiritual platform is going to be is the mystery of iniquity. That is a term for the occult. And what we're seeing today is an explosion of occultism in North American and European society. Good example of what we're talking about in Edmonton yesterday. I was in the airport and I went through the bookstore they had there. And I saw a book written by a woman named Grace Cirillo. Does that ring a bell? She was an anchor on CTV, blonde. Are you familiar with her? Well, anyhow, she's written a book called Take the Next Step, The Bridge Will Be There. And according to the cover of this book, this is a national bestseller in Canada, very popular. And I noticed that there was an endorsement by a man named Neil Donald Walsh, who was a very prominent New Ager. So I was looking through it, and there was a chapter called Connecting to Spirit. Connecting to Spirit. Now, that's not the Holy Spirit. That is the spirit of the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of occultism. And so the fact that it was a national bestseller showed that this was, you know, quite alarming. Also, I ducked in very quickly to a little restaurant they had there, and there was this woman from Toronto sitting next to me, and she had a New Age book that Oprah Winfrey was promoting in her handbag there. And we started talking, and she told me about how she had grown up in the United Church, and she'd even played piano, you know, as a teenager. And then she, later on, she discarded it all. She discarded Christianity because she said she didn't like dogma, you know, or doctrine. It was just too, she just didn't like it. But now, with this book, it's called A New World, and it's being promoted by Oprah Winfrey. Now, she sees the divine isn't everybody, that whether you're a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Jew, an atheist, you know, everybody is connected to God because your inner self is your true self. And she was talking about how wise this author was that had written this book. And I said, oh, I've written a book on this too, you know, the ancient wisdom. And here, let me give you a copy. Oh, thank you. I'll read this and I'll give it to my 32-year-old daughter, you know. So I felt the Lord, you know, led me into that situation. So then I'm on the plane from Edmonton to Winnipeg. And the woman sitting next to me, a completely different woman, has the same book, you know. And then the guy next to her, the next guy over, is reading a New Age book. So as you can see, you know, what we're looking at here is, see, for those of you who are older, you know, you've always looked society in terms of most people have some kind of connection to Christianity, and then there are cults, you know, these cults are just these real little groups that are very minor, you know, and obscure. Well, I think what we're looking at here is like all of North American society becoming one giant cult. And I know that sounds kind of outrageous, but I brought the documentation in the Pastor Morrow, is that his name? What he was talking about really resonated with me. That's what we're going to be looking at here. Okay, I call this the invisible denomination because it's huge. There's millions of people involved. How many of you are in the business world or understand business? Okay, you understand the law of the market. You don't market something that doesn't have, sellability. Law of supply and demand, that's the law of the market. Well, anyhow, you go to, major bookstore chains, and you'll find, you know, huge numbers of shelves devoted to New Age spirituality. In fact, Kohl's bookstore, you go into Kohl's bookstore, and it's one of the New Age section is one of the largest sections in the store, but it doesn't say New Age, it says well-being. That's the title, well-being, and you'll find, you know, 80-90% of the books in there are going to be coming from the perspective we're going to look at now, mysticism. See, mysticism has always been very hidden or kept secret. You know, Western society has never been mystical, you know, especially in the 1800s and on. You know, it was very rational, scientific, and mysticism was viewed as being, you know, silly or non-existent, you know, just mental illness or something. Well, now, see, New Age spirituality at its core is mystical. You know, it's not rational, it's not intellectual, it's mystical. And this is one of the best explanations I've seen. Occultism is defined as the science of mystical evolution. It is the employment of the hidden, i.e. occult, mystical faculties of man to discern the hidden reality of nature, i.e. to see God as the all in all. In other words, and that's not the Christian concept of God being all in all. That means God is in everything and everybody. You know, God is in everything that exists. And this isn't an intellectual view of things. This is a mystical. You have to note the term mystical faculties. That is what denotes the New Age movement. It's made up of people who activate their mystical faculties and go into altered states of consciousness and see the hidden reality of nature. And that's what we're going to, you know, what is the hidden reality of nature? Okay, this is the core practice of New Age spirituality. Meditation. This is what really defines New Age. Any book you get on you know, New Age religion, this is what you're going to encounter, is the practice of meditation. Okay, meditation is the doorway between worlds, the pathway between dimensions. Meditation is the key, the indispensable key to the highest states of awareness. Meditation is a key ingredient to metaphysics. That's a term, how many of you know what the term metaphysics means? It means beyond the physical. Meta means beyond and above, and physics is the physical world. So metaphysics is you go beyond the physical world into a hidden, unseen world, as it is the single most important act in the metaphysician's life. And see, we have a woman here meditating, and what she is doing is emptying her mind through repetition. And, you know, the term mantra is what we're dealing with here. A mantra is when you pick a word or a phrase and say it over and over and over again. And it can be anything. It can be a secular word. It can be a religious word. And this is very unnatural. Most people would never say the same thing over and over again, you know, because it's pointless. It's silly. But if one wants to go into these mystical states, you know, you have to, another term is chanting, you know, and in foreign cultures, you know, they chant to go into these states. So what you do is you take a word and you just repeat it over and over again, and pretty soon you're in a, you know, you're not thinking anymore. You're in an altered state of consciousness. You're in a trance state. Excuse me. Okay, from every culture, religion, and race, the mystical experience has a recurring pattern. The core experiences are often indistinguishable from each other, so there's a uniformity to them. In other words, somebody may say, well, this is kind of silly, but, you know, no matter where you are around the world, if you do this, you'll come out with the same experience. So that indicates there actually is something going on. This isn't just foolishness. There actually is a force or power that these people are aligning with because there's uniformity. You know, it was just their imaginations. Everybody come out with something different. Okay, let me see. I think I skipped one. Okay, this is very important. There's also continuity. The classical experience of enlightenment, as described by Buddhist monks, Hindu gurus, Christian mystics, Aboriginal shamans, Sufi sheikhs, and Hebrew Kabbalists, is characterized by two universal elements, radiant light and an experience of oneness with creation. So not only is there uniformity, there's also continuity, which indicates that there's something going on. Okay, how popular has mysticism become? Okay. There we go. Well, one thing, the reason I call this talk the invisible denomination is, to meditate, you don't need churches. See, churches are where people come to sing hymns and hear sermons, and, you know, they worship God in a building. See, if you're a meditator, you can stay home and do that. You don't have to come together collectively. So that's why it's kind of misleading. You know, people may think, well, the New Age isn't all that big or all that popular because you don't see New Age churches all over the place. Well, this is Robert C. Fuller. He's a professor, and he wrote a book called Spiritual But Not Religious. How many of you have heard that term? Somebody says, well, I'm spiritual but not religious. Well, what he means by that is, this is a very informative book. He says that maybe 20% of the adult population of North America is into this kind of spirituality. And you know, that's what I saw yesterday. You know, everywhere I turned, I saw this. So the source they're getting it from is bookstores. You know, you don't have to go to ashrams in India anymore. You can just go to your local bookstore. And he says here that over the past decade, bookstores have emerged as the most important centers of unchurched spirituality. All you have to do is just, like I said, at Cole's bookstore, you go to this well-being section, and oh, everything under the sun. If you have relationship problems, if you have health problems, if you, you know, are depressed, if you, you know, have low self-esteem, whatever it is, there's some kind of book that will help you achieve wellness through higher consciousness. And this is how many people who normally, this is a very important thing to get across. Most people that become New Agers don't do so because they're looking for another religion. They do so because they're looking for some kind of a remedy to their problems, and they go into bookstores, they go to this, you know, well-being section, and they think they're getting something scientific. They think they're getting, you know, something that's not bad, you know, something that's approved of by society, but in essence what they're getting is the mystery of iniquity. Okay, a variety of manifestations of this. I thought this was quite significant. I like to put a variety of things, you know, full range from the lowest to the highest. This is a witchcraft catalog for the year 2000. It's called Reach for the Moon. There's a whole publishing company devoted to books on witchcraft. In fact, it's out of St. Paul, Minnesota, which isn't that far from here, called Llewellyn Publications. And witchcraft has become a major component of the New Age movement. And at the front of the catalog, they have their top bestsellers. I wish I had, I should have asked for this, a pointer, these lights where you can point to things, you know, but maybe the next talk. And this is the best of the back list there. And they have various books. And I think there were like 30 or 40 books that are their bestsellers. And the one up there is Wicca for the Solitary Practitioner and Practical Candle Burning Rituals and Astrology for the Millions and How to Read and See Auras and Astral Projection and what have you. Well, altogether, I count, and underneath you can see how many they've sold. Well, I counted up, and altogether, they've sold 7 million copies. 7 million copies, and that's just of their bestsellers. I mean, there's like 300 titles in this catalog. So that means that millions of people are turning to witchcraft, you know, for spiritual nourishment. And normally you don't think of occultism being associated with, you know, respectable religions. But New Ageism appears to be sweeping through Judaism as well. This is a book called New Age Judaism, Ancient Wisdom for the Modern World. And when you go to the Judaism sections of bookstores, the majority of books there now, or at least half, two-thirds, something like that, will be on New Age mysticism. It appears that all three of the Jewish denominations are open to this form of spirituality, which is very dangerous. This woman, Melinda Ribner, says, "Even more important is connecting with our teachers who hold the keys to opening our souls. There are many wonderful teachers throughout the Jewish world. Judaism is undergoing an exciting renaissance today. Religious organizations are slowly responding to the pressure put upon them to bring forth mystical teachings. I have seen several Orthodox Jewish organizations begin to offer classes in Kabbalah." That's Jewish New Ageism. "When only last year they spoke up vehemently against the study of Kabbalah." So again, you know, on one hand you have people going for witchcraft, and then in respectable religions, excuse me, like Judaism, you have people going for the same thing, because Kabbalah and witchcraft are very almost identical. One thing in my studies of the mystery of iniquity in the modern world, one of the things that kind of really surprised me is how the corporate world is going for this, you know, the business world. You think the business world would be much more sophisticated and would stay away from something like this, but this is a book called The Corporate Mystic, a guidebook for visionaries. And it's endorsed by two of the top motivational leaders in the corporate world. First is a guy named Ken Blanchard. He says, if you want to lead your enterprise into the 21st century, read this powerful book. The second one is by a guy named Stephen, is it Covey or Covey? I've never heard it pronounced. I think it's Covey. He's probably the number one guru in the corporate world. He wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, used as a textbook in many Christian colleges. And he says that this important book will sweep you into a different level of consciousness, one of a spiritual perspective and feeling so necessary in future leadership. So it'd be one thing if somebody just wrote a book on, you know, corporate, you know, New Age spirituality, but it's another thing of two of the top individuals in this field to endorse it, you know, the corporate field. Okay, here we have something even more influential, a practice of yoga. Yoga has exploded since in the last 20 years or so. It was once relatively obscure, but since the 1990s, yoga has become something practiced by millions and millions of people in North America and Europe, predominantly by women. A yoga journal did a survey and found that something like 77% of all the people that do yoga are women, primarily in their, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s. So the word yoga means union, and it has to do with the union of the higher self with Brahman, your inner divinity. The word that they use is namaste. The traditional expression of greeting and farewell practice among yogis is performed with the hands placed in a prayer position like this. At the heart center, it is usually accompanied by a bowing of the head and body. It means the divine in me salutes the divine in you. So in the beginning and end of every yoga class, they do that. They go namaste, and it means the God in me bows down to the God in you. And that's what they're doing in this picture. Now, many people may think that yoga is just stretching, you know, just kind of doing these postures. But as I said earlier, yoga means union. It has a spiritual connotation. It has become one of the major vehicles in which New Age spirituality is impacting the modern world. Here we have Time Magazine, The Science of Yoga. You know, it's actually considered a science. This came out in probably 2002, 2001, something like that. And you may say, well, what is the science of yoga? It's quite bizarre from a Christian standpoint. You probably didn't know this, but this is from that Time Magazine article. And, okay, on the right side it has the Western view, on the east side it has the Eastern view. And these, in yoga, these energy centers are thought to exist within the body, and they're called chakras. And in meditation, it gets really bizarre here, but this is what yoga is. If anyone's skeptical, you may have, you know, family members, you may have co-workers, you know, someone you know who practices yoga, and they may be highly skeptical. Well, if you go to the fitness sections of any bookstore and look at the books on yoga, you'll find that the chakras will be there, that it's an integral part of yoga. Anyhow, on the left side there, it has the chakras, explains them, and the top one is the crown chakra. Now, the crown chakra has to do with man is God. That's why they say namaste, that when you're meditating, this energy called the kundalini energy flows up through the spine, activating these chakras. When the one on the forehead is activated, one supposedly has psychic powers. But the most important one is the one from a Christian perspective. And this is why yoga is anti-Christian. A lot of people may find that controversial, but when the crown chakra is activated, then you know that you're God. You know that you're God. See, this isn't intellectual. This isn't where you go to a yoga class and somebody just tells you you're God, tries to convince you. This isn't like, you know, the Mormons will come to your house and try to convince you that they have the restored gospel, and it's all intellectual. With yoga, all you have to do is go to a yoga class, meditate, and this, you know, unless the Lord has his hand on you, this energy, which I believe is demonic, will come surging up, and then you will believe that you're divine. And to me, that is the essence of what is satanic, is that, you know, Satan said, I shall be like the Most High. I shall be like the Most High. And at the very essence of yoga, man is like the Most High. So all you have to do is put two and two together. And like I said, when you see yoga becoming so popular all over North America, little towns all over the place have yoga studios, and yoga can be taught in schools, and it leads to this kind of spirituality. Well, I brought something even more controversial. So, you know, a lot of people practice yoga now, and they may think, well, you know, this isn't bad. Well, this is my proof that yoga is bad. So, you know, it's established that yoga is based on the chakras. Okay, this is Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft. And you might think that you open this book and you'll find, you know, upside down crosses and sacrificing babies and, you know, cursing God and, you know, real dark, sinister stuff. But that's not the case. In Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft, one also finds the chakras, the same thing that yoga is based on. And it says, of all the techniques of advancement in the psychic and spiritual fields, meditation is by far the most effective. And then, you know, we have the same chakras of the crown chakra and the third eye chakra there. Very same system. And also the very same terminology. And, of course, in yoga, meditation is part of the package. And in the Complete Book of Witchcraft, it says, meditation, the mysterious psychic energy can be sent up through these centers. This very potent force is called the Kundalini, or serpent power. As this mighty force begins to flow within you, these vital psychic centers, the chakras, begin to open in successive order. It opens up the channel to your higher self. And this is Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft. So if you go to a yoga teacher and tell them, well, I don't think yoga is Christian, and they say, oh, yes, any Christian, doesn't interfere with religion, and you ask them, well, do you believe in the chakras? Oh, yes, I believe in the chakras. Well, the chakras conflicts with Christianity, because in Christianity, you have to believe the gospel to be connected to God. In yoga, all you have to do is meditate to be connected to God. You know, there's no repentance, there's no believing the gospel, there's no salvation in yoga in the Christian sense. It's you're already connected to God, and you have to realize it through meditation. And I think this is very significant. Okay, meditation, it's become extremely pervasive in Western society through the practice of stress reduction. And in my research, I found out, you know, this is American Magazine here, I found out that meditation is becoming prevalent in all over the place, magazines on arthritis and, you know, magazines for seniors. And I mean, wherever you look, you know, you'll find the practice of meditation. And in my research, I found out even if you're meditating for non-spiritual reasons, you'll still open up this doorway into, you know, the supernatural realm. And I'll prove that in a moment. The number of people who are meditating in North America is absolutely staggering. And this is what I mean by whole countries becoming cults. See, before, back in, you know, 30, 40 years ago, if you wanted to learn meditation, you had to find some Hindu group somewhere. You had to find some group like Unity Church or some kind of what would be considered a cult. Now you can get meditation virtually anywhere. You can go to your doctor or any type of you know, mainstream outlet and be taught meditation. And that's, you know, what I've, here we have a businessman meditating, you know, somebody in the corporate world. And that's what one would have found in the, you know, that book I showed earlier, The Corporate Mystic, that, you know, it taught businessmen to meditate and go into these higher realms of consciousness and make their business decisions based on their higher self or their divine self. Here we have Chicago firefighters meditating. I mean, you think macho firemen would be the last people that would ever meditate. Well, no. It's very stressful fighting fires and very dangerous, and the city of Chicago probably brought in a stress reduction specialist and said, you know, you guys need to learn how to meditate to get rid of your stress. And they may have thought, this sounds weird, but, you know, if it'll help, then it's worth it. Kids are even taught to meditate. You know, even young kids are taught that, you know, they'll be much better behaved if they're relaxed, and then to relax, they meditate. See, notice the fingers. That's the classic yoga posture there, the lotus posture. So you might find it controversial that I might say that meditation is, even for stress reduction, is bad. Okay, this is an article by a guy named Marty Kaplan. He was a secular Jew. He was a screenwriter in Hollywood, you know, totally secular, and he wrote an article called Ambushed by Spirituality. And mind-body medicine, by the way, is meditation. And he says, I got more from mind-body medicine than I bargained for. I got religion. You don't have to believe in anything. All you have to do is do it. Unwittingly, I was engaging in a practice. Unwittingly, did you get that? Unwittingly, I was engaging in a practice that has been at the heart of religious mysticism for millenniums. Meditation is known to every mystic tradition. So he meditated because he was always, I think, biting his nails or something. He was doing something that that was stress-related, so he started to meditate, you know, to stop the practice, and he got ambushed by spirituality, but it was the mystery of iniquity. You know, it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. It was, you know, this mystical experience that is at the heart of occultism. This is another man, John Randolph Price. He says, meditation was a way to attain peace of mind and reduce stress in a corporate environment. You know, this wasn't a cult he was going to. This was in the corporate world. This was a booklet that was put out by a management association. So he was doing it, and he said, so I decided to try it. I discovered how to come into a new sphere of consciousness. You move into a realm you may not have even known existed. And, you know, my message this morning is that is the demonic realm. You know, that was when you move into these realms, you come out believing that you're divine. And the scripture that comes to mind is, you know, in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, seducing spirits. That's what I'm really trying to emphasize, is that this isn't intellectual, this is mystical. We have people aligning with familiar spirits under a variety of guises, you know, on a vast scale. This is a prophecy conference, you know, the Bible portrays in the book of Revelation and other books, the Bible portrays that there will be this one world religion that will be satanic and demonic, and the man of the son of perdition shows himself to be God, right? He shows himself to be God. Well, I believe this is how he's going to do it. You know, he's not going to just say he's God without a spiritual platform. There has to be a infrastructure. There has to be something that makes sense. You just don't get up and say, well, I'm God, you know, okay, you know. There has to be a network. There has to be a following. All these people that are meditating, 17 million in the United States alone, 17 million people meditate in the U.S., and Canada's probably, you know, proportionate to that. They're getting in touch with what they believe to be their higher selves, which is reality, the demonic realm. And when this man shows up, they're going to follow him. They're going to be his core leader or followers. They're going to go after him. And as Pastor Morrow said, once the Holy Spirit is gone, I shudder to think what it's going to be like. There'll be no hindering effect. There'll be no, the King James says, uses the word let or hinder, you know, and then says when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, then there won't be any hindering force anymore. Okay, this is very significant. How many have heard of this? Oh, quite a few. Wow. Yeah, this is something that didn't exist in North America until the 1970s. The term is Reiki. It's a Japanese word, and it means universal life energy. Universal life energy, but another word for it is God energy or spirit guide energy. And I've watched this grow to tremendous proportions. It was first brought over in the 1970s, and then it just kind of started to snowball. And this is incredible, folks. This is incredible. What Reiki is, you go to a Reiki channeler, and they lay hands on you. This energy pours out of them into you. You know, the spiritual energy pours out of them into you. It's like, you know, getting zapped. and their hands get hot, and it actually is a real situation. You know, it actually happens. It's not mumbo jumbo. I've talked to quite a few people who have had Reiki done on them, and they say they actually feel the heat and they feel this tingling energy going into them. And this is hard to understand and hard to believe, but it's quite a phenomenon. And you can encounter this. This is why this is important. This is why I want to make sure you understand the particulars of this. This is from a day spa. You know, a day spa. You wouldn't expect to find the occult in a day spa, would you? And they put out this brochure, Reiki, the gentle healing art, and it says, the gift of Reiki. Keep in mind, this isn't a cult. This is a day spa in a, you know, next to a place like Walmart, you know, kind of a, where hundreds of women go to have their, you know, to look more beautiful. It says, the gentle art of Reiki draws on universal life energy to benefit people of any age and any state of health, whether at home, clinic, or hospital. Sessions adapt easily to any situation. Reiki offers comfort, nurture, and support for the good health and balance of your mind, body, and emotions. And that's from, that's what it says on the inside. So you read that, and, you know, comfort, nurture, and support, and good health, balance. How many people do you know that have stress in their life, that, you know, have troubles and problems? They go to a day spa like this to have their hair done, and someone says, yeah, you know, and they're complaining, oh, yeah, I'm so worried about, you know, this or that. And then they say, oh, I know something that can help you. It's called Reiki, you know. And they explain it. Well, that sounds kind of weird. And, oh, no. It'll offer comfort and nurture and support. And, well, maybe I'll try it. You see what I'm getting at? You see what I'm getting at? We're not talking about cults. We're talking about places where women go to have their hair done. But what they don't tell you is about the Reiki guides. You know, during every attunement ceremony, I am always aware of the presence of my Reiki guides. They don't tell you that spirit guides are connected with Reiki. When you Google day spa with Reiki, there are over 138,000 entries. Okay. According to William Lee Rand, head of the International Center for Reiki Training, there are at least 1 million people in the United States right now who channel Reiki on others. 1 million, you know. And in Canada, it's probably over 100,000. I stayed at a Reiki hotel in Calgary. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, let me tell you that. Really nice hotel, too, comparable to the one I'm staying at now over here. And I go in there, you know, and they're signing me in. And I see this big glass, like you see in fancy restaurants, this big glass thing with like a list of services. And I'm reading, all of a sudden it says Reiki. And I go, oh no, you know. And the next day I go and talk to the woman at the front desk, and she says, oh yeah, they'll come right to your room. They'll come right to your room and do it on you. And this is in Calgary, you know, a really nice upscale hotel. Okay, this is, again, imagine my surprise during my first Reiki class when I observed the astral images of guides and healing spirits pouring forth bright, shimmering rays of healing energy at the hands of novice practitioners. You know, again, there's abundant evidence that the power behind Reiki, what you're getting, is spirit guide energy. You know, it's not just some neutral, it's not like chiropractic, you know, that's neutral. It's actually connected to something spiritual. And Reiki, Reiki can actually make you become a new ager. You can just innocently have it done on you, and you can wind up possessed. And this is what I'm talking about. This is a book, by the way, at the airport in Edmonton under health. This book was in the health section. This wasn't under religion. This wasn't under new age. This was in the health section. It's called Hands of Light, A Guide to Healing Through the Human Energy Field by Barbara Ann Brennan. I actually saw this in the airport in Edmonton yesterday, the same book. And in it, it shows the guides. It shows where Reiki comes from, the energy behind Reiki. See, there's a woman doing it on someone laying on the table, and you see these figures on either side. It says on their, you know, Hands of Light. Well, this is, you know, the old saying, one picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, here we have it. You have someone doing Reiki-like energy on a woman, and the guides are on either side of her. That's where the power is coming from. So, you know, it's one thing if there's just a few people doing this, you know, a handful, but, you know, a million, if each one does it on 25 people in 1 year, that's 25 million people. You know, and there's like, it's continuing to grow. It's like a snowball effect. Anybody who goes to a massage therapist has a good chance, you know, probably a 50-50 chance of running into something like Reiki. It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. And there's an agenda. Like I said, an agenda behind Reiki. It's not just neutral. Reiki once belonged to everyone. The Reiki guides want it to be so again. So, you know, the Reiki guides want everybody to fall under this power. So we have the Age of Aquarius. We have this mass enlightenment. Everybody will be in touch with their higher selves, their divine selves. But in essence, it will be the demonic realm. You know, this is a prophecy conference. Everyone knows that the Antichrist will be possessed by Satan, and his followers will be possessed by demonic spirits. Here we have the chakras. Again, the basis of yoga, the basis of witchcraft, and the basis of Reiki. I should have said that Reiki is also based on the chakras. Any time where you have energies or forces or powers of an occultic nature, it's based on the chakra system. And the chakra system is linked to, the demonic realm. It says the seventh functions like a battery charger, renewing our connection with spirit. Well, what do they mean by spirit? I mean, spirit? What kind of spirit? Okay, beings on other planes are eager to communicate with you if you are willing to be receptive to them. You know, this one quote here, this one thing, kind of says, I could go home right now, you know, I could leave right now. This is basically my message that, you know, before, you know, it's up until fairly recent, last 20, 30 years, you couldn't find this in normal society. You know, it didn't exist. It did not exist. There was no Reiki. There was, you know, no yoga. You know, there was no witchcraft, no Wicca. You had to go to, you know, Tibet or somewhere to find it, or you had to go to maybe you could find it in Toronto or somewhere, you know. I mean, you had to really, you couldn't find it, like, even in Winnipeg. You couldn't find it in Calgary. Now there's the Reiki Hotel in Calgary, you know, and that was just probably the tip of the iceberg. And when I, on the other side of the street at the Reiki Hotel was a yoga studio. So I'm going out of the parking lot, you know, all disturbed by seeing, you know, the Reiki thing, and I see yoga just right across the street, you know, knowing it's based on the same thing. I got a little more time here. Hey, there's quite a number of people that have been pushing this on a, you know, to the public at large. This is a man named Wayne Dyer. He's written like 30 books. He's sold 50 million books. You know, I would call him the Billy Graham of the New Age movement. He's in the States. He's on public television whenever they have a fund drive. They always bring him out and. He's a very articulate speaker, and he tries to pretend like New Ageism and Christianity are the same thing. He talks about Jesus, and he quotes scripture, and I don't know, how many of you have ever seen him on television? Oh, you have, huh? Okay. Well, as you know, he's very, very convincing. If you don't know your Bible really well, there's a good chance you'll think highly of him, because he's a real spiritual man. And of course, you know, your sacred self. And you don't find him in the New Age section. You find him in the well-being section. In fact, he's a big chunk of it is taken up with his books. Okay, this is a book that's been very popular. It's called Eat, Pray, Love. It's been called the Woman's Bible. And she has been called everyone's guru. A woman named Elizabeth Gilbert, divorced her husband. She had a nervous breakdown, divorced her husband. I think she's rich because first she went to Italy, that's the eat part. And then she went to India to an ashram and meditated, and that's the pray part. She was meditating and, you know, she had mystical experiences. You know, she felt this energy come down and possess her, and she said she was sitting in the palm of God's hand while she was meditating, in the palm of God's hand. And, you know, she came back and wrote this book. Now, millions, this is mainly women by this book. Women have really connected with this. They see her as like, you know, they want to be like her. You know, they want to meditate and have these mystical experiences. So, and she's been on quite a few talk shows. She's very convincing, very articulate. You know, she's, you know, a nice person, but really has the gift of promoting New Age spirituality. Okay, Oprah Winfrey, she is she's launched a series of major New Age offensives here recently. And we'll get into that over the course of this conference. She was raised a Baptist, and then in the late 80s or early 90s, I think it was the late 80s, she read a book by a Unity minister which converted her to New Age spirituality, and since then she's been on a crusade to get everybody enlightened, you know, everybody in her audience to get enlightened, and she's been very active here recently doing that. Anyhow, this book, The Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav, if you go to Gary Zukav's website, there'll be Oprah there saying this is the most important book she ever read. And when you find out what this book is about, it shows what defines Oprah Winfrey's spirituality. Okay, this is from the book, The Central Perception of the Multisensory Human is that he or she is not alone. The multisensory human does not need to, rely solely upon his or her own perceptions and interpretations of events for guidance, because he or she is in conscious communication with other more advanced intelligence. That is what is happening now. It is just that for the first time, as we become multisensory, we are aware of it and can put names with non-physical teachers and have a sense of personal relationship with them. Remind yourself that you are supported, that you are not going it alone. You're not going it alone upon this earth. Dwell in the company of your non-physical teachers and guides. And this is, dwell in the company of your non-physical teachers and guides. And this is what Oprah calls the most important book she's ever read. So Oprah apparently has familiar spirits, and she wants to pass, they're using her as a vehicle, and she's using this to pass it on to her 50 million viewers and listeners. And that's why this book that I saw these two women have yesterday is a book that Oprah's been promoting. And they are, okay, I don't have, are you familiar with The Secret? Have you heard much? Oprah promoted The Secret too, and The Secret was an occultic book, and it was written by this woman, Rhonda Byrne, and she, you know, says that you are God in human form. I think I'm running out of time here, so. Okay, this is, you know, the Bible says a lot about this. The slave girl in Acts 16, you know, had a spirit of divination. Followed Paul and Silas around trying to endorse them. It shows that familiar spirits are very deceptive, very innovative. So what we've been looking at here is, on a wide variety of fronts, this invisible denomination has sucked in millions of people. And just because you don't see churches that says, you know, the first church of the New Age or whatever, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And it's getting worse, you know, it's exploding. There seems to be a momentum. There seems to be, when I realized how popular The Secret was becoming, that I went to a number of bookstores and they were saying, oh, we can't keep it in the shelves. And, we've sold hundreds just at this store alone. Another one says that they sold, 27 in one morning, you know, something like, or 50 in one morning, something like that. And they got in 100 they got in 100 in the morning, and by afternoon only 27 were left, just in one bookstore. I knew that some threshold had been crossed, you know, and that North American society was never going to be the same again, that it was never going to be, you know, the Christian-based society it was a number of years ago, that we're moving into a metaphysical, a mystical society. So what I wanted to leave you with is this, you know, that it can be easily proven, you know, that the chakras are at the heart of New Age spirituality and at the heart of the chakras are beings who want to communicate with you. And these beings do not bring the gospel. You know, they don't bring the preaching of the cross. They bring that you are divine. See, many of you may have family members or you know, some friends or somebody in your circle that's become involved in this or about to. And it's very simple. You could, you know, just use this as a guideline that, you know, this is not Christianity. This is not compatible Christianity. This is the opposite of Christianity. So I want to leave you with, regard not them that have familiar spirits. This is from Leviticus 19:31. This is a verse to kind of learn and remember. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards. See, a Reiki channeler is basically a wizard. You know, unfortunately, the word wizard has taken on this connotation of kind of like a cartoon character or something out of, you know, TV kid shows. But there really are wizards, and that's what Reiki channelers are, people that are connected. The word wizard means knowing one. And people that are connected to this realm of existence that I've been talking about are wizards. And it says to be defiled by them. Defiled. In other words, be defiled means, you know, that you believe you're God. The familiar spirits cause you to believe that you're divine. And the bottom line is, I am the Lord your God. You know, I am the Lord your God. And that's what needs to be hammered home to people that go down this route, that, you know, Jehovah, Yahweh, is the Lord God of Israel. And he is, see, none of this has to do with sin. They totally ignore the idea of sin. You know, you can be a terrible person and still have higher consciousness. So I hope I've, helped you in this matter this morning. And I hope you have more information to deal with people now. So God bless.